Hello, everybody. Joanna, so glad you're here. This is part two of three of just a little bonus series on getting people to your retreats. So we started last week, and we spoke a lot about individual outreach last week. And I'm going to build on that in our call today and add in some new strategies once you're done. Always, I feel like individual outreach first, but then there are other strategies to add on after that. So we're going to start to move into some of those today. But before we do, I want to kind of just create a little bit of a bridge from last week to this week. So first of all, someone got in touch with me over the week as she was going to do her individual outreach with a really great question, and I wanted to bring the question here to all of you because I thought it was worthwhile to really look at. And what this participant said was, you know, she was so jazzed to do the individual outreach letters to tell people about her offering. But there were some people on her list that she hadn't been in touch with for a while and that she felt really bad, you know, that she hadn't been in touch and now she's getting in touch out of nowhere and, you know, telling them about her work and inviting them into her work and, you know, just wasn't feeling totally great about that. And I love this question because if you're working with me or in one of my programs, chances are you're going to feel exactly the way that this participant described. I know I would, right? Like, I would feel weird reaching out to somebody if I thought they were a great fit for an offering, but if we hadn't been in touch recently, you know, you just feel so self-serving, right? And so I want to share what to do about this. And I think it's helpful not just for this situation, but for any situation. So generally what I told this participant is that the best way to market is to be honest and authentic in your marketing. Always be honest and always be authentic in your marketing. So what that would mean in this case is not to just not reach out to that person about your offering just because you hadn't been in touch for a long time, but what I might do if it were me, you know, and again, like going by this philosophy of authenticity and honesty in marketing, I might just write how I'm feeling, right? So I might in that note somewhere just say, you know, I know we haven't been in touch for a while and, you know, I hesitated to reach out about this because we hadn't been in touch for a while, but I do really want to know how you're doing, number one, and number two, this just to me feels like it has the potential to be so valuable to you, just such a great fit, that I really just wanted to, you know, I wanted to send it to you. I wanted to reach out in this way, right? So some people might say, oh my gosh, that's so not professional, that's so not markety, you know, like can you really do that? Isn't that breaking the rules to say, oh, I'm a little nervous about doing this, or, you know, I thought twice because X, Y, and Z. My answer is no, like do that in your marketing. It makes you more real. It makes you more genuine. It makes the person that you're reaching out to feel connected to you. Okay, so from there, let's just do a little assessment, if you will. So again, last week we spoke about individual outreach. We spoke about asking for referrals, informational interviews, that kind of thing. What action have you taken since our call last week? What action have you, and this is not to make you feel bad if you haven't taken action, right? That is just to kind of honestly see for yourself. What action has you taken around this since last week? Next question. What action do you want to take this coming week around getting people to your offerings or your retreats? What are the actions that you want to take? I'll add some more that you might want to take as we go through this call today, but around the individual outreach pieces. Next question. What do you want to celebrate around this? So it might be an outer thing. You know, I reached out to 5 people, or I reached out to someone and we have a call, or I actually, like, I wrote the letter. I haven't sent it out yet. I haven't gotten to that point, but I wrote a template letter. Or it might be an inner piece of I'm starting to actually consider reaching out to people individually. I hadn't even been willing to consider that before. Or I feel really excited, or, you know, whatever it is. So what's something that you want to celebrate around this? And then are you stuck anywhere around individual outreach, referral outreach, you know, any of the pieces we spoke about last week? Is there anywhere that you're stuck or that you have questions on? Sometimes we need sort of like the week to marinate on it before the questions come up. And I'd love to just open up space and take a couple of minutes to just hear either celebrations or any questions that you have on what we looked at last time, star 2. Tina.
Oops. Oh.
Tina?
Hello? Oh, hi. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, sorry. Thanks so much, Joanna. So I found this extremely helpful last week when you gave us all these notes and I was typing them up. And so I actually have a goddess circle coming up this Saturday. And so I actually, things that I tried that I hadn't before is, I remember you saying there's different ways of reaching people. So I tried with several women that I noticed they don't respond to any text messages or any emails, right? And so I was like, well, maybe I'll just try a different tactic and use the Facebook Messenger way of attaching the event and reaching out in a very, you know, authentic, individualized message for them. And I must have gotten like 20 responses that way.
Yay!
You know?
Yay!
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and like,
so
you know,
happy.
Not all of them could come, but, mm-hmm. you know, and half of them were like, oh, I can't make it, but I'm really interested in your next one. And I was like, it doesn't matter. That's a celebration
yeah.
in itself,
oh my
right?
God, 100%. 100%. I'm so happy that you did that. That's amazing. And I'm so happy about the response. And I would say just like maybe the little, if you didn't already have this, like maybe
yeah.
the little piece in there is always have the next one, the next date set. So that when you do that, if people are like, I can't do this one, but I want to do the next one, you can be like, great, it's on February, blah, blah, blah. Should I RSVP you, right?
That's beautiful. So. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. This is so, so, so helpful. I'm so grateful.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to hear it. Good, 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 good. Heather.
Hi, Joanna. So I was very excited that I made my list last week, and I know a lot more people than I thought I did.
Mm.
So it was nice to see those numbers. It was also interesting to see that my referral list was actually longer than the first tier list.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised by that in a way. I guess the question is coming up for me, right? No, go ahead.
Just a little challenge question. Did any people step on the second tier, you know, the referral list that actually should have been on the first tier, but you were a little scared?
That's a good question. I need to really sit down with this list.
Yeah, I would just go back. That's my little challenge for you, right? Like, did you put some people on that second tier that actually belong on the first?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. So I will look at that. And my other question that I came up with just now is, you know, a lot of these people know each other. I don't know, maybe it's a silly question now that I think about it. But I'm just saying, like, a lot of these people know each other, and especially the second-tier people, you know, like, it's a women's program, so there's men on this list, right?
Yeah.
Like, you'll know some people. But, like, is there a maximum number of people that you would recommend to send these personal outreach emails to? And would it, like, I mean, I know I'm going to be personalizing each one, but is that going to be weird? Or can you see that getting weird with, like, people like, oh, I got this email from Heather out of the blue and blah, blah, blah.
Right. So in terms of, like, maximum number, no, just as much as you have time for, you know, keep on sending more, right? And then in terms of people know each other, so is that weird? Again, back to what I was sharing at the very beginning of this call, authenticity and honesty, right? So you might just, like, put a little phrase in that letter, you know, I'm asking a couple of people from our blah, blah, blah community, you know, ones that I feel could be really great referral partners, and you're one, right? Like, if that will make you feel more comfortable and take the weird out to just, like, name what is, then say it.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's not weird because it's like, yeah, I'm asking some people. Right?
All right, great. Thank you.
Yeah, good question. Good. Anyone else? Star two. Anything else on the individual outreach? Amelia.
Hello. I have a big celebration that I'm challenging myself to just share, even if it makes sense or not. but all the cards for my 44-card self-love oracle deck are done, and they are beautiful. And I made a list of people that I am going to do an individual outreach. And I even reached out to a few. And I also, like, gave myself the challenge of telling one new person a day about it. So however many people are on this call, I'm also telling you all about it. So, yeah, it's really exciting, and they're so beautiful. Like, every time I look at them, I want to cry, which I think is a good sign. And so I'm just looking out kind
so
of
glad that
the
you're
other
sharing
stuff.
That. Yeah, I think it's so big, Amelia, not just that you finished the cards, but, like, you know, because you were in, like, a bit of your winter phase lately, like, the fact that it feels like you're coming out, you know, like, you're making lists and you're reaching out and you're challenging yourself to make more connections, right? Again, marketing is all about making connections and relationships and deepening them and reaching out, and so I'm so happy to hear all of that. Yay all around.
Yay.
Yay. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. All right. Well, let's add to possible tools, ideas, and strategies to get people to your retreats, to get people to your one-on-one work. We're going to be looking at a bunch today. And kind of what we're going to be looking at today, I call it guerrilla marketing. It's different than grassroots. So there's some similarities, but, you know, just to define for you guys, like, for me, grassroots is about not doing all of the fancy funneling, right, that word, right? Like, just grassroots, right? And then guerrilla marketing is what is guerrilla marketing? It's kind of like you can't do guerrilla marketing all the time because you would exhaust yourself, but it's kind of like a sprint of marketing where you're taking any action you can think of to get people to do something, to take action on something. And I always have, you know, throughout the year, little guerrilla marketing sprints where I'm taking a lot of action. And I want to share with you today one of those moments that I did guerrilla marketing, and what I did and what happened. So I moved to North Carolina about, God, I can't believe it's already almost 6.5 years ago from Brooklyn. And when I moved to North Carolina, I had a thriving business and I had an online business. And so, you know, I had clients from all over. It wasn't like I was starting from scratch in Charlotte, but I was looking to bring in new business. And in New York, in-person events had been a great strategy for me to bring in business. And so I wanted to do an in-person event in Charlotte, but I didn't really know anyone. I mean, so it was almost like I was starting new, right? And I emphasize this fact for those of you, there are some people on this call that are new business owners and feel like, oh my gosh, I don't have past clients, and I'll, you know, what do I do if I don't have those connections, right? So I was really in a situation where I wanted to hold a local event. And I knew some people, but I really didn't know that many people, certainly had no clients here yet. And, you know, just as a side note, but not really a side note, actually, why did I want to do an in-person event? Because what I've learned for myself and for my, by and large, I was about to say most of my clients, but honestly, all of my clients. This isn't true for every entrepreneur, but most people that are attracted to work with me tend to be like this. This is how I am. If I can get somebody in the room with me and they hear me speak, or I'm facilitating a ritual or a circle, or they're just like connecting with me in some way, chances are they're going to want to learn more about working with me, right? Like, I just have that kind of, like, there's something about being present in the room with me that really attracts and magnetizes and activates and galvanizes my ideal client. So if you know that you're that kind of person, I highly recommend organizing, you know, what I would call a preview workshop. There, you can do them online also. I do that a lot. But sometimes doing something local in person can be a great way to generate prospects for your retreats, for your one-on-one work, for your group work. So I wanted to do, that's what I wanted to do here in Charlotte when I first moved here. And I had a one-day workshop, really like a three-quarter day workshop that I had done before in New York City. It was called Be Seen. It was all about creating visibility for yourself. And so I wanted to do it here. And the main purpose of the event was to, you know, introduce people to me, get them excited about what I was doing, invite them into enrollment conversations. I did charge a little bit of money. I believe it was $47, but a preview workshop can be free or low priced. But that wasn't really the purpose, is not to generate income directly from this event. It was to generate sales calls with really good prospects. And even though I didn't know almost anyone in town at that point, I was determined to fill that workshop with 50 spots. Now, I couldn't get really people into this program by sending emails to my newsletter community because, again, like there may have been some people in that newsletter community that lived in Charlotte, but I was international, right? So I was going to have to do this in a different way. I was going to have to do this in a guerrilla marketing way. So, again, the guerrilla marketing was, like, really intense and persistent and a consistent, like, grassroots strategy, really giving it all I had, but for a short period of time. I am not a big fan of working intensely in a consistent way because I really, really believe in sustainability. I really believe in self-care, right? I mean, not that you're not taking care of yourself when you'll be doing, you know, like, not that I wasn't taking care of myself as I share the actions I was doing, but I don't want it to seem like this is like a rah-rah, go all the time, you know, kind of thing. Okay, so what did I do to get 50 people to this $47 three quarters of a day event in a place where I really just only knew a handful of people? So I did a couple of things. Step one, first thing I did was 6 weeks before Be Seen, I sent out an individual. I did what I shared with you last week. I sent out an individual email to everybody that I knew here in Charlotte. It was not a long list, mind you. Anyone I knew that would be just even remotely interested in the Be Seen and the training, or to that second tier, to people who might know people that were interested. Really not a very long list. And in that email that I sent out, I did exactly what I shared last week. I invited people to come, and I asked that they let anyone that they knew who would be perfect for Be Seen to come as well. And I created a special discounted rate for those people. I think maybe, I don't remember now, maybe the regular rate was 77 and at 47 for those people. Or, yeah, I gave a little discount. Maybe it was 47, 37, whatever it is. So about a week after I sent out all of those emails, I actually hadn't heard back from anybody. It was a little bit of a bummer, right? And I'm sharing this with you to say that this happens in business. Sometimes we take these actions and we don't see right away what comes of it, right? It was the week between Christmas and New Year's also, so, you know, people may have been a little checked out. So what did I do? I did exactly what I shared with you last week. I wrote a follow-up email individually to every single person. After I did that, some registrations started to come in, and by the beginning of January, I had 7 women registered. So what did I do next? After that, I went through my list again of people that I knew, and I emailed anybody that I knew that I hadn't sent the original email to, either because I was scared or I thought they were long shots or whatever it is. And then I did actually send a campaign out to my newsletter community because I thought there are probably a couple people in my newsletter community that are in Charlotte. And after I did all of that, we were up to 17 people that were registered. Still had a long way to go, though. I wanted to get to 50. So what did I do next? So after that, I got in touch with 3 women that I knew here in town. You know, when I first got to town and I didn't really know anyone, one of the first things I did, this is kind of as an aside, I just went to see, like, where would my ideal client gather? Right? And I had, by the way, I had all of these, like, preconceived notions coming from New York City and Brooklyn, you know, what the South would be like and, you know, women entrepreneurs, you know, this and that. And I really didn't think I would find anyone, but I when I first got here, I was just like, where are the people that might be ideal clients? Like, where are they hanging out? And by doing a little bit of research, I saw, well, there was once a year, there was this big mind-body conference, maybe my kind of person is there. Certainly the vendors that were there would be my kind of person, right? And so what I did right away was I just wrote to the woman. I found out who organizes this mind-body event, and I just wrote to her casually, like little old me. She was kind of like a big person in the Charlotte scene. I was nobody on the Charlotte scene. I was just like, I love what you're doing. I just moved from New York. This is what I'm doing. Is there any way that I can be helpful with your event or support you? Or if not, I would just love to connect for coffee or tea sometime, right? And you know, we eventually connected for coffee or tea, and so she learned what I did. We got to know each other. As an aside, she invited me to speak at this big event the next year, which was like amazing, right? Like most people in town never got, you know, that were these types of practitioners never got asked, but because I was bold enough to make that outreach to connect with her, I made that connection, right? So that's one example. So there were three women that I knew in town that I had, that I knew were highly connected. This woman was one of them. And they didn't like know my work so well, but I had created a little bit of a relationship with them. And so I got in touch with those three women and I asked them, I knew that their communities were based locally. They knew a lot of people in town. They're highly connected in town. And so I asked them if they would send out some emails to their communities on my behalf, right, about Be Seen. And what I did was when I asked those women if they would be willing to send out emails to their communities, I said, you know, I wanted to give them something in exchange. I knew the biggest reason that they would do it is, you know, if they felt connected to me or liked me and just wanted to do it for me. But I always like to, you know, see how I can support when I'm asking somebody else to support. And what I said to them was, you know, and if you do this, I'm more than happy to have you come to the event and present for 10 minutes on, you know, your work or sell what you want to sell or whatever it is, right? So so we had that exchange. And so those three people agreed to send out emails about the event. The other thing I did during that period of time, we were already now, you know, I was kind of like in week three or four of this six-week process of getting 50 people to the event. The other thing I did was anyone that was already registered for the event, I sent them an email and I said, hey, would you like to bring a friend? If you bring a friend, you know, they can get in at this special rate too. I think the special rate I was giving was $47. The regular rate was $77, right? So, and this is something, by the way, I do routinely, my clients do routinely too, is like you already have some people registered for something and you want more. Who are the best people what's one of the best ways to get more people in? Ask the people that have already raised their hand and said yes and registered if they know other people, because those people are already invested. They're in, you know, they want this, so they may know other people that would be willing, right? So I did that, and what happened was by the end of that week, we were up to we got 36. We had 36 registrants, and I had two more weeks to go to get to the 50 registrants. I was feeling pretty good because, again, like I was a newcomer in town and I felt like I had attracted a nice amount of people, but I really wanted to get the 50. So I knew that I needed to do more guerrilla marketing. So what did I do next? Well, I went online to a website of local it was like a community of Charlotte healing practitioners. It was kind of like a hub for Charlotte healing practitioners. So many of those people were my ideal clients, and I took the time. This took me the better part of a day. I viewed the profile of every single woman that advertised on that website, and I researched her website, right? So anyone that advertised on this website that was like Charlotte Healing Practitioners, I viewed their profile. I went to their website. I studied their website. And then the ones that felt like good matches for my work, I sent them an individual email, and I introduced myself. I mentioned what I loved about their website, what felt really interesting to me about their work or who they were, and I invited them to come to this event of mine. And even though it was like out of nowhere, those people didn't know me, six more people stepped into the event through that. So I was at 42 people. Still wanted 50, though. Kept on going. So what did I do next? I went to Facebook, and I did a search on anyone that I was connected with, because you can do this on Facebook, that lived in the Charlotte area. Right? So I had been friends with, I had a very big Facebook community. And I don't know most of the people in my Facebook community personally, right? But I just went to see, like, who did I know and who was I connected to in Charlotte? And for each one of those people that were entrepreneurs, obviously I had to do research on each person. I sent each one of those an invitation, a message through Facebook. I introduced myself and I made an invitation. It was such a long shot, right? And it took time and it was scary to do. Like, each of these steps were scary in their own way, right? And, I was willing to make the time because I wanted to make a mark here in town. I wouldn't do that again now here, but, time, whatever it was, right? But I was willing to do all this. Anyway, I found those people on Facebook, sent them invitations, and by a couple of days before the event, I was at 52 RSVPs, and I had a waiting list of 4 on top of that, and more people in the end tried to register on that. When the day of the event came, the room was packed, and I was told by a number of women in the room that that's just like unheard of for Charlotte to have that many people, right? Especially from a newcomer. Now, there's nothing special about me. Like, I'm not saying like, oh my God, it's amazing. Got all these people registered, I'm so cool, like I'm so great, like there's nothing special about me. I'm sharing this with you to inspire you around, like, even if you don't know that many people, even if you haven't been marketing for a long time, if you're really determined, there are different ways to make connections, to meet people, to bring people in, to have them introduced to your work. It's about, are you willing to spend the time and energy, and are you willing, some of you were on the call before this, we had for the Sacred Depths coach training, and I was talking about, stretching or risking, right? Like, are you willing to take the risk and put yourself out there? Were there some people that didn't know me that I reached out to that were probably totally annoyed and pissed off and thought, who does she think she is? Like, she doesn't even know me. Who is she to invite me to her event? I'm sure, I'm positive there were some people that felt that way, that maybe unfriended me on Facebook, I don't know, whatever. But those people aren't my concern, right? Because those people aren't ultimately my ideal clients. I had this event that I knew would be really impactful for the people that came, that would really serve them deeply in overcoming their visibility issues and creating a visibility strategy. And I also really wanted to meet people in town and bring them into my work. And so I was determined to do that. And I'll share with you, I don't remember the exact numbers, but from that event, I had a program at the time called Your Sacred Business. It was a 6-month business building program. And from that group of people, immediately we had 8 people step in to Your Sacred Business, and also 2 or 3 of those people immediately became private clients of mine. But then over the ensuing like year to 2 years, a number of other people that were at the event came into my offerings and became clients. So let's pause here for a moment and let me ask you to just do a little journaling for a moment. So like I said earlier, some of the actions that I took to fill this event were bold. And for someone who's actually a little bit shy, I know I don't seem shy, maybe, but I am actually a little shy, and I've got all of my neuroses, believe me, my anxieties. It was a little scary, a little risky, right? So how can you be a little bit more bold in your outreach? I want you to name maybe some of the ideas that I shared with you today or some other ways I want you to write down, but what are some tangible ways that you can be more bold in your outreach? It might be about the actual thing to do, like contact someone that you don't know, but it might also be the way that you're doing things, right? Are you totally owning your value in your marketing? Are you being super direct in a way that makes sense in your marketing, right? So how can you be a little bit more bold? Well, let's start with that question first. How can you be a little bit more bold? And what inspired ideas are coming to the surface for you from just what I've been sharing so far, either specific things that I've shared with you, or what are some other ideas that are coming to the surface? And think about, let's just focus for a little bit on your local community, because I think a lot of times in this online world, when we think about marketing, we tend to overlook local in-person community. But again, I feel like there's so much gold to connect, you know, locally in person with people. So if we were to just like focus on that for a moment, what would feel exciting for you to do in your local community? And as you're writing out these inspired ideas and what you might want to do and where you could be more bold, my guess is you're probably maybe noticing some places where you've been holding back. So take a moment and identify where are the places that you've been holding back in your marketing and why. Why have you been holding back? I'd love to hear a couple of shares or questions. What are you seeing for yourself? Or do you have any questions for me on strategy that we, you know, any of the things I mentioned? I've got some more I want to share with you today still, but just any questions that you've got, or what are you seeing? Star two. Is this Pardee?
Yes.
Hi.
So, you know, I'm doing a full moon little workshop on Monday. And so I just started to realize, like, I should be doing more individual outreach. And when I do text messaging, it tends to help. It makes a difference. And I have a flyer made already. So it just woke me up. I was like, wait a minute. You know, I was in Mexico. I was able to do two events there, which was great. But I'm like, now I just got back last night and I'm thinking, okay, I have to get on it now. But what also opened my eyes is how I had been focusing so much on certain places to do my events. And I'm realizing that there's local places in Brooklyn that I could be approaching as well. So I started to think about, you know, okay, so I've done Mexico, I've done Soho House, I'm doing, you know, knock on wood, Soho House in Miami. I'm now looking into approaching Europe. But it's like, hey, why not a place 20 minutes from my house?
Mm-hmm. So, I know, right? It's like, yeah. And Brooklyn is like one of the best places on the planet, right, where there's so many people.
Because that's more easily going to translate into a private clientele base, right? So I'm like, I mean, it can happen when I'm at these other places, but it's a lot harder to get in the private sessions while I'm there for an event, too.
Yeah.
So anyway. So
I love it. I would start making a list.
Just woke me up.
Awesome. I would start making a list of places. It's great.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Carolyn.
Hey there. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, great. So I am wanting to do, I've done a lot of one-day retreats in the city and, you know, in other parts of the country, I guess, too. And so this year I want to do a retreat in Portugal for a week. And so that's a big leap. And so right now I'm waiting for my planner to, you know, get hotel information and some of the logistics and things like that put together. But where I feel most stuck, and this, I think it's probably, I know it's my own stuff. This is really geared towards these reinvention clients, these women who have had very stable, steady businesses. And they're like, oh, but now what? And so I think some of it, like I already know, like the tour guide I want, I know the hotel, like I've got the kind of the activities worked out. But part of me is trying to figure out what do I want the core promise to be, and how do I want to work in the work part of it?
Yeah. So, I guess they have to work too, huh?
Yeah, you know, to make it a write-off and actually make it. You know, and I do business design and, you know, marketing and strategy, sales strategy. So, and a lot of mindset work. So I'm not entirely sure. I haven't quite processed how I want to position that. And that's where I'm stuck. And I know that's a really big question, but you asked. So
Yeah. So we may not get through like to the bottom of it, but let's see if we can make a little progress. So you mentioned that you know you've got some stuff around it. What's some of that stuff? Like what are some of your fears?
Well, I think some of it is I actually in general right now I'm feeling a little bit just in general feeling a little bit stuck on what I want to create for content. I'm kind of getting like that's going on for me right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't want the event to be around creating content. I think my biggest fear is what if I don't feel it? What if I put this out there and like three people go, yeah, but what I really want is 8 or 10 or 12 people. I still want it, you know, small. So
yeah. Yeah, okay. I just wanted to check in to make sure it wasn't anything, I don't know. Anyway, okay. So that's helpful. So then with that, let me ask you this. For these women that have these stable businesses that are ready for a reinvention, that's kind of their starting point, right? Like that's how they would be coming into the retreat. They have these stable business. Tell me if I'm getting all this right. They have these stable businesses, but something feels a little out of place. They've either maybe gotten a little bored with what they're doing, or they've hit a plateau with their income generation, and they want to make more. They have the sense that like maybe they're in the right ballpark of what they're doing, but it isn't exactly what they want to be doing. Am I getting that right? Is that where they're starting?
In general, yes. That's pretty much it. They're ready to step into their next level of expansion and purpose. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, good. So by the end of this retreat, however many days it is, mm-hmm. where do you want them to be? Where would you love for them to be by the time they're done?
I really want them, if they don't have what the next thing is figured out, I want them to have some really amazing options that they can pursue and explore further. So this is all about inspiring and sparking new ideas.
Awesome. So if this were almost like if the retreat, we were to look at it almost like a hero's journey or a heroine's journey, then we can see like where they're starting and then where they're ending, right? Where they're ending is like they either know the thing or they've got a couple of really awesome inspired ideas that they feel excited to kind of lean into and pursue and to think about more. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So when you think about where they're starting and where they're ending, if you could name three, again, continue to think of this like a journey, like a heroine's journey. So if there were three places where they needed to stop on that journey from where they are now to where they want to be, or three things that would get them to that end point, generally, what are the three things that they would need to get them to that end point?
Oh my gosh, that's such a great question. I kind of feel like I need to give that a little bit of thought.
You may not be able to answer it, but that's what I want you to think about. Can you see? You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah,
right?
I do.
Awesome.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Tina. Tina.
Sorry, am I on now?
Yep, can hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I was on mute. So I think like my biggest challenge would be how many times should I reach out in like a month before or maybe 2 months before to promote? So you know, like I do an email, right? And then I'll do probably like once a week a Facebook something about it, and then I will individually reach out to people. But how often should I keep promoting it? You know what I mean? Like to where I don't want
to. In general,
like,
or to the individual?
I would say both. General, to the general Facebook community, and then to the individual. How much is appropriate?
Yeah. So, you know, with an individual, I'll usually reach out twice, maybe three times.
Okay.
And then after that, it's just not anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. When it's to my newsletter community, I mean, I'm sure you've seen, like, if I have something, there's a period of time where I'm sending a lot of emails about it. You know,
right.
Like, you know, and I will, there, I mean, everybody has their limits, and sometimes I really have to, like, internally, I'm like, oh, you shouldn't send anymore. It feels so painful. I don't want to bother people, but I know I need to send two more times, right? Because remember
okay.
what I said last week about follow-up, right? Follow-up is
right.
so important. And then same with Facebook. I mean, you know, because of the way that Facebook or social media works, is like some people are going to catch it. Not everybody's going to catch every post in their feed.
Mm.
So if I have, it depends what I'm promoting, but let's say I have a preview work now, and things have shifted a little bit, right? So, like, there's a difference between promoting something in person versus online. It used
right.
to be that if you had an online workshop, you would start promoting it a month before, you know,
right.
and all of that. Now, if it's free preview workshop, really like 5 days, you're not going to promote more than 5 days out. An in-person workshop, people need time to get out of their houses and, you know, to like set it in their calendar kind of thing.
Exactly.
But
I would
still promote it, you know, a number. And but the other thing to remember, especially with Facebook, is that there are direct ways to promote and then there are
mm-hmm.
like backdoor ways to promote, right?
Right.
So in terms of the like, I have this event going on, come to it post, I probably would only do that 3 times, 4 times, you know, at most.
Okay.
But during that whole period of time, you know, I would be doing backdoor posts, right? So I might
post
something personal that's about me, let's say it's for this visibility, right, be seen, about visibility and a time that I struggled with visibility and, you know, this, this, and that. And then at the very end, I might mention I'm going to be doing a whole workshop on this, right? So there's different ways to be sharing the message and letting people know about the opportunity.
Okay, so just so I recap, generally what you said is with the newsletter is what I was kind of struggling a lot with because I really don't get much response at all from that, that it's okay to just do maybe like 2 to 3 times a month, maybe even just 2, to just 1 as a general event of the workshop offering, and then since mine are in person, maybe another one is like a visibility newsletter about my own process, something that I'm going through, right?
Your newsletter community, and it's an event.
Right.
I mean, if it's happening every month, you don't want to like overload
right.
all the time. But I
right.
would send a good solid 3 emails out about any event that I'm trying.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really helpful because I was like feeling I was getting a little bit pushy, but I feel like lots of people are doing that and it's okay. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you
that it's
for
not okay
helping.
With are going to just opt out of your list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's fine. And I don't mind. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Cool. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. Tanya.
Hi, Joanna.
Hey.
I just had a quick question about the story you shared and just sort of strategy. Like when the letter you were sharing last week, you talked about how you ask them to – you invite them into a call in that first, like, email reach out or letter. And then in this one, I was just wondering if you, when you did like the first tier and second tier, did you just invite them to register?
Yeah, because anything that's like $47, $77,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, $127. I mean, at this point, I'll invite people straight to register anything under $500. But, you know, if that's like out of comfort zone, anything that's like under $100, you don't need to have a conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think so, but I was just, and then did you have like a landing page or did you just like?
I did. I had a very simple opt-in page. It was not very long. It really just, you know, activated vision, activated gap, spoke about the bridge of the event, and then people could opt in. It had a little bit about me, tiny little bio at the bottom.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Kara.
Hi, Joanna. This might be too much of a tangent of a question, but as I was writing my list based coming off of your story of like ways I wanted to be more bold in my outreach, I found myself held back because I, on the side, am collaborating with a woman and we're creating some shared workshops together.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not in a position of wanting to develop coaching clients and so is less inclined to do a call to action at the end of any workshop that we do when we're designing things more for a corporate space that would be more of its own experience and not necessarily designed to get clients.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that I feel is holding me back in my individual because I'm sort of trying to navigate like what do I want to do with her, what do I want to do separately. I'd love to hear just a few minutes of your experience or a few seconds of working with someone else when it comes to outreach and in your experience in growing a coaching business, like, is that, does that get in the way often, or is that a helpful thing?
I'm chuckling. I will share with you, but I want to say, like, this is my experience only, right? And
okay.
I don't want to say, like, this, but I will say I've really seen this with clients as well. Might be because I'm coaching them, but I don't think so.
Okay.
I love partnering with organizations, and there's a lot of benefit to doing that. But what I have found is that much of the time when two practitioners partner, it might be like a beautiful, the event itself may end up a beautiful, beautiful collaboration, but neither of the practitioners really gets any business. Again, my experience and of my clients only, this may not be true in all cases, but my theory on it is that, you know, at the end of an event like that, you want to make a call to action, right? To people have a conversation, whatever. But if more than one person is making a call to action, people's minds just spaz out and then they choose nothing.
Right.
And so, and it, for as aligned as people can be and take their shadows of jealousy out of the picture or any, I think good competition is a healthy thing, but any competition that's in shadow, like for as much as people, practitioners can take that out of the story when they, again, not collaborate in general for bigger program, but if it's like a preview thing that's then going to lead to client, there's always going to be a little bit of an energy of it. Will those people pick me or will those people pick her? And then that can cross wires sometimes too. Again, this is not to say that it can't be successful, but I just for myself prefer to partner with organizations. I've had less success partnering with other practitioners for this kind of thing.
Great. That's super helpful.
Okay. Good. I've got a bunch more people with hands raised, and I want to get to your questions, but I just want to – we're almost at the end of our time, so I'm going to share just the rest of what I wanted to share today, and then I'm happy to stay on the line for anyone that wants to stay on the line that has questions for a while. A couple of things. First of all, I just want to share throw out another idea for a preview presentation that has worked really well for me and for clients of mine, and that is to partner with an organization that is a great cause organization and donate proceeds to that cause. So I had once a very, very successful in-person preview workshop when I was still living in New York. I partnered with an organization called Choices in Childbirth, which is, they're basically a hub for anyone looking to, you know, a doula, a midwife, a postpartum massage therapist, postpartum nutritionist, therapist, whatever it is. And they're an organization that gives women choices in childbirth. That's what I call Choices in Childbirth. And so the way that we partnered is I knew, right, I was thinking about this strategically, that they had a ton of practitioners that were part of their membership. Their practitioners were total ideal clients for me. You know, business owners that were soul-centered, you know, creating transformation, all of that. And so the partnership that I created with Choices in Childbirth was that I actually did something very similar to Be Seen. I hosted the Be Seen workshop for them. It was a shortened version. We charged some money. I think we charged $47. Choices, I donated all of it to Choices in Childbirth. I didn't make a cent off of it, but they provided the space for me, and they emailed a number of times out to all of their practitioners, people I never would have had contact with, And then I emailed out to my community too, and I got to do this good, there's this good thing that I'm doing, making this donation, you know, for the charge, all of it. And it was super, super successful. So that's another, just to kind of generate some ideas for you, you know, to partner up with a great not-for-profit, if you have some shared goals, you know, there. The last thing I want to say for today is, what do you do at a preview presentation to bring in enrollment conversations or clients? I don't have time to share all of that with you on the call, but I have a lot of material on it. So for those of you that are in Sacred Depths, if you go to the membership site and you look through the Your Sacred Business modules, there's one that's named Preview Presentations. I think it's called Preview Presentations, Workshops, and Talks or something like that. It will give you a really good frame and a good outline of what to do if you're doing a preview presentation. For those of you that are into the depths that are tuning into this call, I'll make sure that you get that recording as well. I guess I don't think you guys have access to Your Sacred Business, so I'll make sure that you get that. All right, I'm going to stay. Next week, we're going to look at some more strategies and get even deeper into things. I will stay on the line now, though, and get to the rest of these questions, try and get you guys served as well as I can. Heather.
Hi. So in the journaling, we get to the part about some areas where I've been holding back and why. I came upon something. You know, I've already expressed that marketing is kind of the bane of my existence. So what I do is I keep wanting to change things. I keep wanting to change what I've written. Like, I look at it, I'm like, oh, that's not right. And I just keep changing it and changing it and changing it. And even, like, right now, I'm kind of freaking out because something I wrote a week and a half ago has gone live on the Event Spaces website and community. And I'm like, but I've already made new changes to it. How do I fix that? But part of, I think at the core of that is I'm thinking, like, why do I have these issues with this? Like, it keeps evolving, and that's part of it, is that I feel like I'm in this really weird growth spurt, and I'm learning so much about myself and my business and what I want to present and how I want to present it, and I'm still getting stuck on how to present that to people. Part of it is I'm still not comfortable with expressing the spiritual nature of the work I do. Mm-hmm. But underlying that even deeper hesitation, I was a massage therapist for 9 years. And for 4 years, I worked at a very prominent massage spa in Chicago. And I was having problems getting repeat clients. Everyone seemed to love the work I did when they left the room, and they looked like they loved the work, but they wouldn't come back. And part of it was that I was misaligned with the company message. They pretty much, it's rough work. You know, their clientele expects to leave feeling bruised, and I don't do that. But what I got out of that is this message that I feel like I need to over-explain what I do, because these clients weren't getting the results that they expected quickly enough. And coaching is the same way in many ways. It's a long process, and I worry that people will be turned off by walking out and like, oh, no huge transformation has taken place. So I'm stuck in this place of, like, I either say too much and probably overwhelm people, or I just don't know what to do, so I say nothing.
Yeah, I hear you. So to tell me if I'm getting this right. It sounds like there are a number of pieces, but one of the pieces that you're really honing in on is that you've got this belief that because the work takes time, it's not like an overnight transformation deal, that it's not going to be attractive to people, and that's what's really blocking you from being either more bold in your marketing or really sharing what you want to be sharing in your marketing. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, that's definitely one big part of it.
Yeah. So
even though I know that that's not true, I've been through this myself, and that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
To share that. I know that there's gold at the end of this process.
Yeah.
It's just
let me ask you this. When you think about your ideal client, is your ideal client someone that wants transformation in an instant and doesn't get that it's a process? Or is your ideal client someone who's really committed to the process?
Right. Yeah, I mean, definitely someone who's committed to the process.
Yeah. Okay. So definitely someone who's committed to the process. So so then the other kind of person doesn't really matter because they're not really your ideal client, right?
I guess I get lost in that question too, because sometimes you don't know what the process is going to be. what is that level of commitment that you're trying to create with that first conversation, that understanding?
Right. So what I do for that, because I hear you in that, is I just marketing is about honesty and authenticity. And so I name it in my sales conversations. I name it in my marketing. I name it all over the place. And what I say is, if you're looking for one of those coaches that are just going to promise you to fly you to the moon and back in a day, I'm not the right person for you. That's not how I work with clients. That's not what this process is about. But if you're looking for an opportunity to really do work to create something sustainable, where you transform as you build your business and where you build something solid over time, then let me tell you more, or then let's talk, or, then this is for you. And, sometimes I'll say in that it's not going to be prolonged, and you will see. You'll see things happen and all of that, but I'm just really honest about who I am and how I work. Is that helpful to think about?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still learning how to be so, honest in these ways, and ways that's not off-putting.
Yeah, I know. It's an art. It's definitely an art. But I would, start to, since you're thinking and, noodling on it now, just start to, draft out a few sentences about that for yourself. And, start to work with it. My sense, Heather, just because, the little that I know of you, I really feel like you're someone who is just a woman of such integrity that I think really, the more you can be honest about these things in your marketing, the more comfortable and empowered you're going to feel.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So glad you brought that forward. Let's see, who didn't I get to here? Of course, anyone that has to go, please go, but we've got two more hands up, and I am going to try to get to you. Amelia, and then Kelsey, I'm going to get you. Amelia.
Hello again. Thank you so much for that story. I'm learning about myself that because I'm doing work that's so important to me and literally requires me to, like, be better and learn more about myself and overcome, like, some of the really deep, dark shadows and limiting beliefs, I really do need, like, things spelled out. So just hearing, like, week one, I did this, week two, I did that, was really, really helpful to kind of just get me out of my head and just do these things. And that kind of brought up the concept of the seasons and how, guerrilla marketing can be a lot of, like, maiden, like, yay, take action, take action. But it was really helpful how you said, like, you don't do this all the time, and this is, like, a specific period of time. I also heard when you were telling the story, the mother nurturing energy that had to be there.
Yeah.
And also the queen energy of, like, owning, because, like, in marketing, you're also owning your power and celebrating it. So it's kind of like mother / queen. And that's how I've, when it came to asking the question, how have I been holding back? It's honoring and acknowledging those energies inside of me. To really plan out the process and take my time.
Yes, exactly. For those of you on the call that don't know what Amelia is talking about, she's talking about concepts that I teach in the facilitator training and Into the Depths. But Amelia, yes, 100%. The guerrilla marketing is a lot of, it's a lot of maiden energy, a lot of that, you know, quick energy, lots going on, but the mother needs to be there to nurture, and the queen needs to be there to sit on her throne and be in her power, and even the crone needs to be there to be like, you know what, take a few days off intermittently, right?
Yeah.
And just be still. Good. I'm so glad that you can see all that.
Just a question, like, how, now that I have this realization, you know, that's the breakthrough, but the transformation is like, okay, now the practice, like, do you, like, how can I, now that I have the breakthrough and the realization, what are some things I can do to keep practicing and nurturing these other energies while I'm doing what I'm doing?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's such a big question, right? I can't answer in
two minutes. Yeah, no, I know.
So I'll just, I'm going to give you a couple of things that we can, I know you and I will be in person at the end of the month, and, you know, we can look more, but, you know, for now, first of all, having a plan, right? So all the steps that I laid out to fill be seen, I had that blueprinted out. You know, I may have added one or two along the way that, like, you know, got inspired and sparked and came up, but I had a plan and I knew what I was going to do each week of that 6-week plan. That's part of container setting, is having the plan, right, with a timeline. So I would blueprint out all the action, you know, like, you don't want to blueprint out every action for a goal that's 12 months out, but for a goal that's 1 month out or 6 weeks or 2 weeks, you blueprint out every piece of it and have that, right? And then, you know, in terms of the queen energy, I think for you it would just be so helpful to just do little love notes from your queen self to you every day, just reminding you of how brilliant you are and how powerful you are and what your resources are, you know, and you can combine that with a mother who's also going to just, like, tell you how wonderful and amazing you are and how loved you are no matter what, you know. Those are, I think, the really important pieces right now.
Yeah,
is that helpful?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So happy. All right, and Kelsey.
Hi, Joanna. So tell me, I mean, I hope this is an on-target question. I actually have a question less about the preview event, because that was all really helpful, and more about, and maybe it's a limiting belief, I'm just going to sort of talk through it, that I am planning a six-week course or a six-week class, which is like sort of like a preview. It's, you know, not one day with me, but it's like come taste out, you know, this whole life leadership coaching idea. I'm going to give them one part of each of the five pillars of the whole life leadership approach and kind of wrap it up, and we're going to do it in a group setting or group coaching way. I have decided in my head that it would be best and easiest, because of who my ideal client is, to have this be like an online over Zoom call where, you know, because people would be all over, and also a lot of these people work, and so, you know, to do it in the middle of the day, Wednesdays 12 to 1, kind of keeping it within, you know, I could do an hour and a half, but my ideal client is really super busy. So I want these people to find time for this. And so I've decided, or I'm pretty sure that I want to do it online via Zoom or through Zoom. And yet, and so I wanted to get your opinion on that, because there is something really powerful about being in the room together. And I know we would miss the energy of that, but I wonder if what we gain by getting people there or getting more people who say yes is worth the trade-off.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any one way to do it. Let me start by saying that. I think it's about what feels really good for you. And, you know, like for me as a practitioner, I don't want to have to show up in person anywhere regularly, because I don't like to get out of my exercise clothing, right? And like leave my house and my kids and all that, right? So, you know, it has to be good for you. I agree, like I think especially if it's, you know, busy people, if it's ongoing as opposed to like a retreat or a one-time workshop or whatever, not always, but, you know, in many cases, it's easier to do it online for sure. So no right answer. It's really just about where your intuition is leading and guiding you and what's going to be best for you, I think.
Okay. And do you think, and thank you, I agree, and do you think that doing a six-week thing, which is obviously a little bit higher price, but it's not the price of full coaching, obviously, is an okay way to preview?
It is a good way to preview, but you want to be using the elements that I mention in the preview workshop training. You still want to use, it's like you want to offer a ton of value, and whatever you do, you want to offer a ton of value, but especially if people are paying and investing 6 weeks and all that.
Absolutely.
But you want to, throughout, you want to be activating gap, you want to be activating vision, you want to be giving content, but you want to be more like opening up pathways than giving full solutions, you know what I mean, which is very valuable. It's not like a trickster thing or like icky marketing thing. It's good to open up people's gaps to help them see where they need support. That is of value itself. And of course, give solutions 100%, but just don't give away the whole kit and caboodle.
Right.
And build in when you're going to be making your call to action, build in stories from clients that you've worked with, you know, build in throughout that there are other ways to be working with you. You want to keep all of those pieces in mind. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. All that is perfect. Is there a preview workshop that I missed or that I should know about? That you did you do a whole training preview?
No, it's in, if you go into the membership program for Sacred Death, the membership site, there's a whole, you have a whole bonus in there called Your Sacred Business, which is just different business, like marketing, instruction, and it's one of those recordings.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. I hope this was helpful and inspiring. I'm really excited to see where you go with all of this. Next week, we actually are going to look at some more online-y pieces, maybe a little bit. We'll just keep on building on the pieces we're talking about. Wishing you all a really wonderful rest of your day.